Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Shit. Good evening, all. This is the Frank Report. I'm your host, Francis Steffen. You're listening right here on American Voice Radio Network. Let's see. It's still the 13th of October, 2014, and it is about 11 minutes after 9 out here on the Pacific Time Coast. And if that's when it is where you're at, we are, in fact, live. Trying to do something here that's not working. Anyway, go to theamericanvoice.com or americanvoiceradio.com. Everything you need to know about the network is there. You can also participate in the show. Theamericanvoice.com or americanvoiceradio.com. All right, let's get right to it. It is Monday night. This is the second hour. It may be 9:12 out here, but it is 12:12 over on the East Coast, and that is where our co-host is, Dean Lauren, coming to you live from New York City.
Well, thank you, Frank, and this is another 99-cent report, and I can guarantee you it's a barn burner from China to Saudi Arabia and to America. And, Frank, you were right. I understand that Ebola is going to be hitting India very shortly, and it'll probably wipe out all of India. But what I want to talk about tonight, and we have a special guest for everybody, Elliot Bernstein is back with I View It. He'll be on very shortly. We'll be talking about satellites, espionage, the downloading of everybody's phones and business records, the theft of patents that made it possible. We'll be talking about Lockheed Martin, the thief in the night. We'll be talking about ComSat, which is the corporation of satellites which made it all possible to go out the back door of all your communications. Inmarsat, the global network of satellites, international, owned and operated out of Luxembourg by mysterious companies. Intelsat, also internationally run satellites, also out of Luxembourg, and New Star, the company that has the contracts on all your phone records and rotary switchers. That means you can't make a phone call without going through Neustar, which goes through Comsat. Frank will be talking about voice recognition, Nuance, their various products. We'll be doing a round robin tonight, meaning Frank will be asking questions, Elliot will be responding, and I'll make a quick comment. And with that, I'd like to bring on Elliot Bernstein, the creator and inventor of iViewIt scaling software, which made video and audio signals possible on the net in low bandwidth. Made it possible to, when it was stolen, to steal all your phone conversations and business data. And I want to say it is with heartfelt sadness that I have to say that I'm sorry to hear that your father was murdered, Elliot Bernstein, for the ill-gotten gain of the iViewIt stock. And so, Elliot, come on and tell us what we need to know.
Hi, Dean, and thanks, Frank and Dean, for having me on the show. Dean, why don't you start out with the satellite stuff, and we'll just work in from there.
Okay, now, we're going to do a round robin tonight, folks, and Frank, I'd like you to ask a question, have Elliot give some feedback, and then I'll chip in like a 10-second response, but I guess we should start at Comsat. What do you think, Frank?
Well, yeah, I've you know, last week after the show, you and I talked on the phone for a little while, and I was sitting here in front of the computer as we did, and just, you know, hit the search engine and found some, I don't know what you would, it's interesting for sure, but there's a lot of disturbing tie-ins with some banking houses and some satellites and some technology. And I think your iViewIt technology kind of ties in real well with the Nuance technology, which is voice recognition. And these satellites, well, Dean, why don't you give us a direction? Because I'm kind of,
right.
I've got too much information here. I don't even know where to start. You get us started, and I'll get caught up here with it. But I've got ten tabs open here, and it's just, this is a tangled web.
It's not very tangled, people. It started back under Kennedy when he created a Comsat, which is based in Bethesda, and it is basically a conglomerate of satellites that was quasi-governmental. This is probably why Kennedy was murdered. And that was in 1961. So in 1962, Congress passed the Communications Satellite, and Comsat was born. 65, Comsat launches Early Bird, which is it's the first satellite designed for commercial communications, but it is also part of Inmarsat, which is like a multinational satellite telecommunications network, okay? Very connected into Luxembourg. And when you hear the country Luxembourg people, I want you to run. These are black market people. These are hidden banks. They have like all these little farms, and what they do is run black market on the other side. And then, let's see, we've got and Liechtenstein.
Also, you know, there's also a familiar name in this whole Comsat, Intelsat thing here, because it started as a government thing and then it ended up with Lockheed Martin.
Exactly. And what it did was IBM, Aetna, and various other corporations pushed for privatization. And it was actually this woman by the name of Betty Allowin who set it up for a corporate takeover. by Lockheed. All right? She was an insider. And so what we have now is a quasi-governmental agency that controls these satellites now being sold to Lockheed. Now, it sold to Lockheed in 1999. And Elliot, this is where you come on board, because it was in 1999 to 2000 when Lockheed walked into your house to steal your patents. So can you say about 2 minutes on what these kind of patents were, the significance, and you may say anything you'd like about Lockheed.
Lockheed, being that they were the first people to license it, they are the largest purveyor of digital imaging and video technologies in the world. My technologies were deemed holy grail type status to the digital world. And they were brought in through a company that they owned 70% of called Real3D Inc. out of Orlando on the Lockheed property. It was also owned, Intel and Silicon Graphics owned the other 30% of the company. Lockheed was brought in to evaluate if my technologies were real. You know, I had a claim that I could stream full frame rate band, video through low bandwidth, and that I could scale images without pixelating to a large degree on a single JPEG image, which, you know, gave cameras and satellites and all kinds of digital imaging equipment the ability to have great zoom without pixelation. That's why you don't really have much pixelation anymore. I mean, you do technically, but you can set it to how, you know, how deep you want to zoom on an image by creating the image in certain parameters. And that's on every imaging device in the world today. Lockheed was more interested in the ability to do low bandwidth video, full screen, full frame rate. So they brought an engineering team in, composed of Intel, Silicon Graphics, and Lockheed engineers, to evaluate the technologies and determine if they were legitimate. They did that. They came in. They basically took over my life, took all of my equipment, everything to their labs, set it up on various browsers, all kinds of different lines, everything. And they wanted to control it to evaluate it, basically. And it passed all the evaluations, and then they became my first licensing partner. And things were booming for my company at that moment. The world was about to change in dramatic ways, including spying, you know, because one of our inventions also is low-bandwidth, remote-controlled video applications, such as you're finding in drones today, and other great features of using video over low bandwidth for security applications and all kinds of other things that we're using video from YouTube down the line. So the technology that they really found to be what changed the world was this low bandwidth video. And so they brought in their engineers, they put them all in a room, they took every guess they could at what I was doing. When I explained how I created the video to scale from quarter screen to full screen without distortion, in fact, a better picture than full screen, full frame rate, they said basically you could put 10,000 engineers in a room for 10,000 years, they would never come up with that kind of concept.
All right, so let's just stop there, folks. So what Elliot did was he created the technology so that you could stream videos to your house, you know, very fast, because remember back in 1998 when those videos used to come over real slow on your computer? Well, he used low bandwidth, and which means, you know, not a lot of information and a fast stream. And so he made it possible for all this data to come into your house. But what this also happened to do was to create an ability for all this data to fly out of your house and businesses up into ComSat's communication satellites like Early Bird, and where they could be stored and used for commercial espionage by the United States, Russia, Britain, France, Luxembourg, and various other countries who were, for lack of a better reason, stealing commercial information. Now, Frank, do you have any comments?
Well, yeah, a couple. I have one question about, say, like, Netflix and that sort of service. Are they using this technology?
Well, Frank, that's just interesting. Some of my licenses right after Intel were with the studios, where I was working on a 7-studio digital download project called MovieFly at the time, which became MovieLink, which basically is Netflix. And without low bandwidth, for your TV, for example, Netflix on the internet, of course, you wouldn't have any video on the internet without my technology that was anything but, you know, very small, grainy garbage. But for example, as well on your TV, you increased at that point in history the amount of cable bandwidth by 75%, because quarter screen versus full screen is a 75% reduction in bandwidth to get the same quality video through. So you could stuff a lot more through the pipes like on demand, Netflix, etc. And all of those technologies are dependent upon the scaling. For example, in fact, playing to your cell phone, you wouldn't have cell phone video. That would be virtually impossible without it. You wouldn't have the phone chat communications that you have, which Dean adequately is pointing out that, you know, while you're doing a face chat, there's somebody who can face chat with you without your knowledge by turning on your phone and your camera and intercepting all of that. But we'll probably get to that in a bit. But yes, without the technologies, there wouldn't be digital downloads of movies.
Now, the other question, and I think I know the answer, but I just want to point it out that we're talking basically about, you know, we're sitting here and we're watching Netflix, we're playing with our cell phones, we're taking pictures, we're sending videos, we're doing Skype videos and all this good stuff. But this technology also can be put in spy satellites and drones that can, if I'm not mistaken, focus in and basically take these non-pixelated, very high-definition pictures from real far away?
Correct. And video. And guidance systems. And all of those things that are dependent on image and video. Dean, in fact, showed me a plane Lockheed was doing not too far back. Remember that plane, Dean?
Yes.
That was fully, like, it was almost, was it a drone? I can't recall, but it was highly equipped with all imaging and video type applications that utilize my technologies. And it wasn't
right, the entire cockpit was based on it.
The which?
The cockpit. You know, where the pilot sits. Right. It was nothing but video sensors.
Now,
was that Lockheed?
Well, now I wanted to ask something that if now we probably went over this before, but there's people that probably didn't hear it, and I don't remember exactly. But now your company, you developed this, you got these basically these partners, and where along the line did and how exactly? Because obviously at one point they recognized you as the inventor, they recognized your company as a partner, and they were doing business with you. Where along the line and how did they exactly, you know, edge you out?
Well, they're still working on it. But what happened and was that around 1999, we discovered that the first patent attorney we had from Proskauer Rose, a gentleman, Ray Joa, who actually wasn't with Proskauer but claimed to have been, and was part of the MPEG patent pool with a guy named Ken Rubenstein, who did go to Proskauer. We found Ray Joa putting patents in his own name for my technology. So a big, you know, Proskauer came in and said, oh, my God, you know, while we investigate this, you know, where Ray Joa is, you know, gone, and they bring in Foley and Lardner to fix up his patents that he did for our company because we had him evaluated after we found out the other guy was stealing them, and there were serious problems with some of them. So Foley and Lardner comes in, and Foley's a big patent firm, and they continue the fraud. So they come in to clean up, basically, but they actually continue the fraud with Proskauer. And later we tie in that the gentleman, Brian Utley, who was running my company, who was the former GM of IBM T-Rex Park, Chris Wheeler, a guy from Proskauer Rose, an attorney, and a gentleman, Bill Dick, of Foley and Lardner, who ran IBM's Far Eastern patent pool. They had just come off another caper where they tried to steal, actually, a guy, Monty Friedkin of Florida's, patents on lawn turf equipment for doing lawnmowers for golf courses. But nonetheless, they just tried to steal this very wealthy philanthropist of Florida's patents. They got caught by him. He had to shut down a company, took a huge loss, and they came to my company next, where they heard there were some patents. And so it appears that they were stealing them right from the start, and they brought in people to steal them. So Proskauer was the first people I went to. They didn't have a patent department at the time, we later found out. But when they saw the patents, they said, oh, we're going to go check with our New York offices. I was here in Boca Raton, Florida. And when they went and checked, they actually went and tried to hire, well, they did hire Ken Rubenstein, who was with the firm Meltzer Lippe Goldstein. And his partner was a guy, Ray Joa, the guy who put the 90 patents in his name. And together, these two started to steal the patents by what they did. What they were doing was creating two sets of patents, one bound to fail, and they were setting two sets of companies up, identically named companies. Fascinating story, but a shell game kind of where they
hold
were
it right there, Elliot. Let's hold it right there.
Wait, I have one question before break.
Okay.
These are pretty big law firms. These are pretty, you know, people, they come up with inventions or you know, whatever that needs a patent, and they go to these law firms. I mean, okay, you're an inventor. You're not a lawyer. How do you possibly protect yourself from these vultures, man, that come in and just, you know, pull this stuff? How are you supposed to get a patent on anything without them stealing it if they want it?
You know, I think they've been stealing patents. It might be the second oldest profession, Frank. I won't be the first inventor they've tried to steal, rub out.
Well, no, I mean, everybody's pretty familiar. Not everybody, but a lot of listeners on this network are familiar with Tesla and what they did with his stuff. They basically stole everything that he had. And you know, but, I mean, the thing is, as far as, you know, I ask every, like when we had, oh, I forget her name, but when we were talking about the probate, you know,
Joanne Dennison.
You know, I always like to ask, well, what can people do to protect themselves? I mean, you've been through it, and a lot of the times we learn only from making mistakes and bad things happening to us and going, boy, I'll never do that again. You know, don't do that. You know, how can an inventor protect themselves? I mean, what would you do differently to protect your patents and your product now that you know what everything you know?
Okay, well, I would tell you a long story of how to do that, but I'd waste your time because the U.S. government changed their patent policy. We went from a first to invent, which made our country the greatest, most innovative country on the planet Earth ever, that technologically advanced mankind in ways we've never seen. And we went to the system that failed for other countries for years before our patent system was created. And we are now a first to file. So it doesn't matter if you're the inventor. It matters if you got to the patent office before your lawyer or his sister or his mother. So my best advice, now that the United States has found a way to partner up with these law firms to steal people's patents, is that any inventor, simply do not put it online in any shape or form. Take your handwritten provisional patent application. Don't download it from a site and then start typing in your things because you're giving it to whatever law.com you're downloading the forms from. And then I would take that patent directly, fly to Washington, and file it with the patent office directly. I'd video the whole thing to make sure you get every person that you contact along the way in case you meet Edison behind the desk.
Right, right.
And, you know, I'd fingerprint it all, photocopy it all, distribute it on the day you patent it to as many people, press, whatever. It's going to be a public document in a year anyways, so there's no need to keep a patent secret. And then get it out there that you are the inventor and you know, build.
And I guess now the first to file.
Deadly.
Make sure that you go, I'm not only the inventor, I was the first one at the desk, too.
Well, it doesn't matter if you're the inventor.
Yeah, now, I'm just curious. I'm just curious. When did they, how did they go about, who changes this? This seems like it's a major, major change that would, you would think would take congressional action or something. Who made this change that, screw the inventor, whoever gets down here first, let's give the lawyers a chance to rob and steal and cheat?
Which, by the way, is why people didn't go to the king with their inventions, because you ran into a danger that the king wanted your invention, so he just cut your head off. And then it was his invention, not yours. And so it led to people becoming very uninnovative, if you know what I mean.
Right, right.
So other countries who even have patent laws before us had that system in place so that, you know, inventors got tired of going to an office, giving their great idea, like calling up on one of those 800 invent numbers, and you're just giving your idea to somebody else, and they're just going to monetize it because they control that position at the patent office or your lawyer or any of these people.
Who decided to change this, though? I mean, how did this happen without, you know, what?
Congress.
They did.
The new Patent Act, yeah.
I see. Well, I'm going to have to look into that and find out who's the guilty party behind that. I, you know what? I have a...
There's a whole group of them, and by the way, it all ties to my technology.
I have a suspicion that it's the, you know, the, what do they call that? The usual suspects?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Anyways, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a bit. Dean, you want to introduce this song?
Yes, I actually want to dedicate this song to Raven Simone, a beautiful American actress who had the courage to stand up and say, hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what you consider your ethnicity, but I'm American. And she did that on Oprah Winfrey's show and blew Oprah away.
Cool.
All right, so this song is for Raven Simone, and of course it's always for President Xi Jinping and King Abdullah V. Abdal.
They like music, do they?
Pardon?
They like music, do they?
Oh, do they ever? And do they love Raven Simone?
And they must love the Frank Report. When we'll be back.
Are you sitting there listening right now in China? It's noontime. They're eating noodles right now, slurping them, thinking, oh, my God, Elliot has opened up the our eyes on how they stole all our information. Ford and all these Taiwan-American companies based there that stole all of China. They know exactly
what... And you know
what,
Dean, from what Elliot just described, they ain't done stealing yet.
Oh, you know that. So this is for you, Raven Simone. You're beautiful. You're American.
What do you feel like playing? You know what? You know what song has been playing in my head over and over and over again?
What's that?
Always and Forever.
Really?
Yes.
That's a good one. It's a jumpy one.
I like that one. I would like to play that
one. It's probably going
to
be the last one of the evening.
You think so?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
I like how the last three songs we played, I actually get to show I can sing.
You're not bad, though. You're not bad.
Shut up.
You ready?
Yes. Shadow Automatic Echo.
You should just have played.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License, Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887 or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org. To order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License, Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling, or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Well, my mama, she didn't love me. She had to stay out all night long. Oh, Lord. Well, my mama didn't love me. She had to stay out all night long. I didn't care what she didn't love. I was boogie boogie in her house. When I first come to town, people, I was walking down Hayden Street. I heard everybody talking about the Henry Swain Club. I decided I'd drop in there that night. And when I got there, I said, yes, people. Yes, they were really having a ball. Yes, I know. Boogie Chula. One night I was laying down. I heard Mom and Papa talking. I heard Papa tell Mama to let that boy boogie woogie, 'cause it's in him and it got to come out. Well, I felt so good, and I went on boogie woogie just the same. Yes. Thank you.
right, we're back. This is the Frank Report. I'm your host, Francis Stephan. You're listening right here on American Voice Radio Network. Go to theamericanvoice.com or americanvoiceradio.com. That's the website. It's still the 13th of October 2014. It's Monday evening, second hour, 9:48. We'll get right back to it because we don't have a lot of time left. We ran a little late on the first half, but got a lot of good information out there. Welcome back, Dean. Welcome back, Elliot.
Well, thank you. Elliot, why don't you just talk about how your father was murdered to get control of the patents?
Well, I don't like to make any leaps, Dean. I don't know that...
I wouldn't be surprised if D'Amato didn't put it all together with Lockheed. But that's my opinion as a journalist, but you tell us what you need.
Okay, well, there were allegations on the day my father died made by my brother Ted that my father was murdered. And there was a sheriff investigation. It inadvertently got booked as a hospital record maintenance check when, in fact, it was four or five deputy sheriffs showing up at my dad's house to investigate if his girlfriend had poisoned him. My brother and my older sister, Pam, had been cut out of my parents' wills and trusts for a number of reasons. A, they had taken a lot while they were alive, companies, the family workhorse companies, and because of other issues. When my mom died, my brother's attorney friends, who had recently done some estate plans for my parents, tipped off my sister and brother that they had been cut out of the estates, and they basically went mental on my father, withheld their grandchildren, tried all kinds of crazy things, and really they became wound up. Now, I didn't know a lot about that until I was called and told that basically I was one of three children that one of the five children that inherited a large percentage of the estates. And it was because my dad was considering asking me and the other two siblings to give up our inheritances for 10 grandchildren to appease my brother and sister and bring their children into the estates, but still keeping my older brother and sister out of anything. My brother was the last person in possession of my car before a bomb was put in it. It has a history behind it. I believe after the bomb went off in my car, my father was put in a very desperate position. One, that people were trying to murder me and my family. And two, how the hell do I protect my family? And so me and my dad made a goodbye pact, and I basically told him to bleep off personally, and he told me to bleep off personally, and I moved out to California, and we staged basically a fight. My mother didn't know what was going on. She was very sick at the time. And so we were trying to keep everything away from her and make it look like I was just a bastard child. And so I went off the grid, and we were living here in Florida with my parents because of their health. I went to Red Bluff, California, moved in with my mother-in-law in a 500-square-foot house, two bedrooms, one bath, with my five people in my family and two in hers. It was quite a tight box for a while. And my parents and I cut off all relationships. And I had already, because of the death threats that had occurred early on in the technologies when we discovered the lawyers stealing it, had basically started to write off my friends and say goodbye. You know, you don't like me anymore and I don't like you. Lose my number. These people are out to kill me and anybody who's trying to help me.
my dad, you know, obviously with a bomb that looks like, you know, it blew up three cars next to it, and it looks, you know, definitely like they were trying to, you know, murder us, not scare us or anything, because it was pretty powerful. Had a lot to do. And I think what he did was he went possibly to some of the bad guys, including Proskauer and a guy, Jerry Lewin, from the accounting firm, the guy who I originally brought the technologies, who brought me to the dirty, rotten, scoundrel law firm of Proskauer. And what happened was, I believe he went and made some kind of, you know, I'm not going to say anything if you're not going to kill my son and his family type arrangement. At that point, I know he instantly became a, he instantly had accounts with the Sir Alan Stanford Ponzi scheme guy. So suddenly he had a lot of money in the Stanford Ponzi. Now, most of his money was in stocks, I mean, in treasuries and blue chips and things like that. And he had very little in the CD part of the Stanford portfolio, which is what the Ponzi is all about, is the CDs. And lo and behold, Proskauer Rose is behind the Alan Stanford debacle. And so right around, I believe around, what was it? 2006, 2007, Alan Stanford got popped. And he was popped by an attorney from Proskauer was conducting a meeting in a Miami airport hangar that the feds were monitoring. And he was teaching the employees how to lie to the FBI and the SEC. His name was Thomas Slobjim. And Proskauer just lost with Chadbourne Park and others, Willis, I believe, an insurance group, a bid to try to block investor lawsuits against them because the receiver, Ralph Janvies, filed that they've committed conspiracy to architect, you know, not just they were the lawyers for, but they actually architected the Ponzi. I know that Greenberg Traub did some of the banking fraud that occurred in Florida to allow Stanford to operate an Antiquan bank as a U.S. bank, which, you know, defies absolute logic. But Proskauer just lost their bid for the Supreme Court by the Supreme Court to be blocked from investor lawsuits. They now are being sued, I believe, for the full $8 billion of loss with these other law firms, et cetera, people who were part of the architecting of this Ponzi. Now, I've always said it's not really a Ponzi, and neither was Madoff or Madoff, whatever you want to call them. They were really money laundering schemes to money
launder. Absolutely. All going to Hillary Clinton, and I have evidence on that with the Emily's list. But Elliot, why don't you clear up to everybody how much or how was your father invested in your patents, which made his life so valuable?
Okay. Well, and I want to get back, Dean, if you can remind me, too, that I believe my dad might have had a hand in tipping off what was going on with Stanford to possibly federal authorities. I don't know many details of that yet. But I have heard that he might have been talking to some very high-ranking people about what was going on. And remember, these people are out to murder his son, you know, so this was, you know, very essential information to understand why he might have been murdered and why these lawyers might have set him up. Okay, my dad, I took the technologies to my father. In fact, the first video transmitted was my son's circumcision because my parents weren't healthy, and I set up a low bandwidth video conference system, one of the first of its kind to do, well, it was the first to do full screen, full frame rate, and we transmitted the video back to Florida from California to a party he had at his house with his friends in Florida. And so then I came out because his health was very bad, and we didn't know what was going to happen. My mom's health was also failing. So I moved out here to be with them because I had just had my son, and they couldn't fly out to see me. And so when I got here, I put together a team of guys, Jude Rosario, Zachariel Shirazi from my dad's club, and we started working on some of the technology to get it, you know, tuned up. And my dad started funding it because he saw a lot of promise in what we were doing. Of course, you know, we were just beginning, but you knew the minute you saw these technologies, you know, even just the imaging first, because it was a few weeks before we developed video after the imaging invention. But just on the imaging, you knew you were seeing something that you had never seen on a computer before, ever, and especially nothing like that over the internet. And so, you know, it was fascinating stuff. So he started investing, and then we decided to, you know, see if it was patentable. And so right there, I formed a company, and he put in the initial $250,000 and took a 30% interest in the company. He was the chairman of the board. I wasn't really an officer of the company. Well, I was originally an officer, but I quickly, you know, went out to a more creative job description because I'm not the business type guy. He is the business type guy and very great business acumen over his life. But this was his, you know, he loved this. And all of a sudden we were being, you know, heralded as Holy Grail technology. The company's booming. We're in the nicest office in Boca. We've got Wayne Huizenga is the first investor. He's raising money from, you know, various investors. He's bringing in huge law firms.
Hey, Elliot, we are at the end of the we're just out of time, and I just want to ask one quick question, and then I got to run the music. Who is the patent holder right now?
The patents are suspended pending federal investigation.
Okay, that's something.
Okay, now Frank.
Yep.
And Elliot, would you come back next week and we can talk more about these thieves that have sold this software to the military?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and next week I'd like to know if, you know, if there's a federal investigation and these patents are suspended, how is this technology allowed to even be being used at this point? You know, I mean, it's obviously poison fruit. It's obviously poison fruit.
Well, they've suppressed me, and the game is to suppress me at all costs. And so that's, you know, they have infiltrated the government. In fact, I was going to read you guys a post, Frank, that would have helped you. I don't know if we have time.
We don't. We're over time, actually. But next week we'll have you back on, Elliot, and have that ready. And I'm very interested in that. Dean, we got to go. You can see the clock. We are way out of time. And Elliot, what?
I said it's Brooklyn Boogie time.
Yep, it is. And we'll see you next. We'll see both of you next week. And, folks, I'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned. We got good stuff coming up. As always, thanks for listening.
Lights out, make your way to the floor. Just Dance got me begging for more. Get down in the County of Kings. Hear that music, makes you wanna sing, wanna sing. Feels like something's in the air. Let the You can find me on